Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Anything to lose. I have no secrets to hide. I could just be blunt and people could judge it however they judge it.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff.
Ahoy, friends. Thank you for tuning in to Truth and Justice. You are listening to the Friday follow-up for Season 15, Episode 18, Dakari Lariat. This week, we took a detour from the murder of DeMario Lowe's and heard the maddening story of Dakari Lariat and his interactions with the Michigan State Police in the city of Benton Harbor. We have a lot to discuss this week, and Bob, Jan, and I are here to discuss it all. But before we get into that, I do know that we have a few housekeeping things we need to tidy up.
One for sure. You guys remember last week when I was like, I'm going down to Texas and I'm going to see Ed and we're going to film a docuseries that's going to be coming out. Good news. I did go to Texas.
Picture of Ed with his grandchild is amazing, by the way.
Oh, dude. So I land on Thursday evening and Ed, he texts me early in the day. He's like, are you coming tonight, Bob? And I was like, yeah. And he said, well, we'll pick you up when you get here. So I got there, I texted him, I'm like, I'm on my way to the airport, or I'm on my way to the hotel and be checked in. He's like, I'm on my way, I'm going to come pick you up. I smoked ribs.
That's great.
Yeah. So I get picked up by Ed, got to go to their new house. Their new house is just beautiful. Kyra was there, she's staying with them right now. So, and Kyra's baby crew, when I walked in, I'm like, baby Bob! Remember, that I wasn't named baby Bob.
I forgot about that.
So I got to see Ed and Kim and Kyra and little crew. And it was just so nice just walking. And it was so nice for me to like sit, you know, I got there and there's all the usual like, oh, it's so good to see you type stuff. Right. And then Ed pulls out, they'd kept it warm for me on the stove. Of course, Ed doesn't just smoke ribs. Ed had ribs and chicken and links and some baked beans and some bread. There was all this is sitting there. I ate so much.
I'm so hungry.
Dude, the ribs in the pan. Right. So he's got them like cut up into individual bones in the pan, baby back ribs. And the first one I went to grab, I grabbed the bone and picked it up and the bone just came out.
That's a good sign.
Oh, so good.
That's a good sign.
But anyway, we ate and chatted. And the minute Ed walked in that door, he had that baby in his arms and he's holding the baby and he's burping the baby and he's playing with the baby for 2 hours. The only time that baby left Ed's lap was when I insisted that I needed to hold baby Bob. And do you know what baby Bob did when Uncle Bob held him?
I hope he puked
on
him.
No, he just kept going and reaching back for Ed the whole time. He wanted pop the whole time.
Yeah.
So Ed, so if those of you that are not on the fan page, you'd look up. I posted a picture of Ed just sitting there holding the baby. But man, So yeah, we got through the discussion about, you know, what's going on with this documentary and da 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 and all this different stuff that's going on. And then we just got to, you know, Kim went to bed and Ed and I just sat up chatting, and it was just like, you know, just sitting there like just talking to an old friend for an hour. It was just, I don't know, it was just surreal to me. I just had that moment when I was sitting there, you know, and we're just shooting the shit about everything from football to, I mean, just normal people stuff. And it was just, I don't know, it was just really, it just, I had that moment where it hit me where like, I'm just sitting here talking to my friend. And yeah. it was
awesome.
It was amazing. Yeah.
That's so good.
That's so
and then everything went to shit. So I'm not getting any details right now, but this company, the production company that was putting together this series, seemed to do a real good job of keeping me and Ed and Allison apart. Like, so we weren't really communicating with, and they were telling us what the other was doing, right? So like, oh yeah, Allison's doing this, Allison's good with this, she's doing this, and Ed did blah, 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 blah. Well, I mean, they didn't count on Ed picking me up that night. So they flew me in. I got in at 7 o'clock at night, and I was supposed to interview the next morning and then fly right back. And that was it. Allison, they didn't fly her in overnight. They flew her in like that day, in and out. And then they like adjusted the schedule and moved it around so that Allison was in the morning, and then they told me not to be there until 1:45. And then Ed wasn't going to be to set till 5:15 after. So like, I wouldn't get there till Allison was at the airport. Ed wouldn't get there until I was at the airport, so no one would run into each other. Well, based on some of the stuff Ed told me at dinner, I was like, something's not fucking right here. And then the producers, when I was like texting them about stuff, like they were being real shady with me about what was going on. So basically, they told me to be there at 1:45. I said, fuck that. And I got in my own Uber and I went there at noon because I thought, I'm going to catch Allison why she's there. Allison and I had a conversation. I sat and did an interview, and she's already a little bit upset about some of the stuff I shared with her in that conversation. Then I go to the airport after my interview, and my interview was weird. Like, everything about this was like, something's odd here. We get to the airport, and Allison's flight and my flight were both delayed. Like, she was supposed to be gone before I got to the airport, and then I was supposed to be, well, it turns out both of our flights got delayed till 8:30 at night. So we get there, she texts me, she's like, hey, my flight's delayed, do you want to meet for a drink? We sit down and have a drink, and all I'll share right now is, as we sat down and discussed, and we got to fully like communicate what was told to me, what was told to her, what Ed told me, what was going on, Allison got on her phone, called Kim, and told her, get Ed, get out of there right now. Do not sign anything, do not sign a release. Walk out. And she's, you know, Kim's like, well, what about, she's like, walk out now. And Ed and Kim walked out. There's a bunch of shit going on with it right now. It doesn't seem as though the episode about Ed will air. And I certainly hope, based on what we learned, that the entire series doesn't air if they're pulling the same kind of shit with everybody else, which kind of seems like it's leaning that way, because they sure did spend a lot of money to get us down there. And lucky for us, the producer was a dumbass. And when I filmed the documentary, Janet, you've been in TV, you've been in television. What's the first thing you get taken care of before you start doing an interview with somebody?
Get a release signed.
Sign a release. Right. These folks, after the interview, oh, and that was part of it too. While Janet and I were talking, they're texting us like, hey, will you guys sign these releases? Will you do a DocuSign this release? Will you do this? And I'm like, I'll look at it tomorrow. I'm going to do it. They're like, no, we need this right now. We need this right now. And we knew Ed was on his way there to do the interview. And we're like, what the fuck is happening? Why are they so insistent? And like, you didn't sign? Nope. Me neither. Nope. Neither. So I sent a very colorful text message back to the producer about why I wouldn't be signing their release. But yeah, so they put a whole lot into this to get nothing. As far as I know, there's nothing, no footage that they can use out of the whole thing. They're a bunch of snakes. They had a dark ulterior motive, but
they covered a real nice visit with you and Ed.
Yeah.
So they can go fuck themselves.
Oh, that's the first time I think I've heard Janet drop the F-bomb on the air.
Yeah.
I've heard her do it personally, but yeah. I don't.
Yeah, that is exactly right. So yeah. They funded me to fly down, you know, fly all the way to Texas to hang out with my buddy for a couple hours.
To have some meat fall off the bone.
Some of the best ribs I've ever
had.
Oh,
don't go back to that. I'm so hungry.
Actually, I'm going to say it right now. The best ribs I've ever had in my life.
Damn, I don't doubt it.
Oh, so good.
I don't
so
doubt
good.
It.
Yeah, so that's going on. Any other housekeeping beyond that, or that's what's not going on. Any other housekeeping beyond that is, like I said, we've got this week's episode, we're covering the state's closing arguments. Next week is the defense closing arguments. We're off the week after that. And I'm going to wait to announce it to everybody later, but I did tell the pregame we've got something very different and special that we're going to be doing after that with Ed's case or Jody's case, something that I haven't done before. And again, I have, not surprisingly, the offer still stands. If anybody, you know, from the guilty camp would like to come on the show, I don't think we've had anybody do this since what, Melgar's in season 6?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, it's been a long time, I think, since somebody was open to actually coming on the air and having a discussion about why they think our subject is guilty as opposed to innocent. But again, I just want to put out there, this is probably the last time I'll bring it up, because if you're not going to do it, you're not going to do it. But that invite is open. I would love to be able to have that discussion on the air. And we are looking for some witnesses we're trying to contact. So, you know, depending on who we get a hold of, we're coming up into the holidays, we're going to be start to wrapping the season up for now.
We do have a few more housekeeping things that you are not aware of, apparently.
Okay.
Well, we just want a little clarification and see if you can follow this, because Valeria is right. This might get a little confusing. So Valeria says, sorry, not quite a question for the follow-up. I said, yes, it is, because it's housekeeping and we all need to keep in mind when we are recording these episodes together, because we love our chat and we want our folks with us live. To help those of us outside the U.S., just wanted to confirm that in the U.S., clocks will go back next weekend, right? So for example, for listeners in Europe, where the clocks went back last weekend, the follow-up live will be an hour earlier than usual. In the UK, it will start at midnight rather than 1 a.m. We all need to think about changing our clocks. So maybe we'll just be extra diligent about reminding everyone when we're going to be on. And
listen, this is what I like
to do. Try not to give every time zone, even though it's tempting.
I like to put the post out to the patrons that says that we are going to start pregame at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And I feel like they can do the math. But yeah, that is correct. On this Saturday, so the day after this airs, the clocks are going to be falling back an hour.
Okay, great.
In the United States.
Nick had just a couple document questions, just getting to the end of the case file. Just wondering if Rolando Ware's testimony isn't covered on the air. Can it be posted? Will post-conviction appeals be covered so everyone knows what's been litigated? Are there transcripts for this season that listeners can reference for discussions in the group?
Yeah. So as far as Rolando Ware's testimony, yes, I think what we're going to do is, so we've got like the individual transcript testimonies from everybody that we've covered so far up on the website. There are a few random ones, like I mentioned, as Nick mentioned, like Rolando Ware's, there's a guy named James Walker who essentially testified that, you know, the day of the robbery, he was at the store and two guys walked up to him, and when he walked out of the store, they said, damn. And so he thought maybe they were going to rob their car. You know, there's like some little stuff like that we haven't covered. So, but I think what I'm going to do is when we wrap up the trial, I'm going to publish the full transcripts in their entirety as volumes. So like the way we got them, we broke them down into the original testimony, but there's actually 5 volumes. Each volume is a day of trial. So we're just going to put out volume 1, volume 2, volume 3, volume 4, volume 5. That's everything. That's the entire trial. So everybody can go and literally read through from beginning to end if they want to. So that'll happen after that's done. As far as the post-conviction stuff, I'll look through it and see. I wasn't planning on, we'd never have in the past, like gone through and covered appeals that have happened up to this point. So I don't know. We might look through some of that stuff, but I don't know if we will or not. Was there any other question to that other than the documents being posted?
Transcripts for the season. Yeah, I think that's essentially, you covered it. Transcripts for the season that listeners can reference for a discussion in the group.
Like transcripts from our episodes?
I guess.
They should be. Are they not on the
or
website?
Maybe
I know the transcription team is doing them.
Yeah.
I'll check into that.
I don't know. Yeah, Nick, sorry if we're not clear. I don't know if you're in the chat, but let us know if we're representing you right. That's it. Just the third one is, are there transcripts for this season that listeners can reference? So I don't know if that's transcripts of like additional court stuff or...
One more thing. Yeah, in the live chat, J-Mac asking you, tell me where to find this fan page. Yeah, J-Mac. So it's on, just go to Facebook and look up the official Truth and Justice podcast fan page. That's what it's called. The official Truth and Justice podcast fan page. And that's where like the overwhelming majority, I think there's 15,000 people in there, is where the overwhelming majority of the case discussion happens.
I know we're not focusing on Jody so much this week, but there are folks who are wanting to revisit how to
not just email and be in touch with Jody, but also contribute to things like various concessions, things that Jody might need help purchasing, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's all done through JPay. So the JPay is where you go for sure to send Jody emails. And there's a function through JPay where you can like put money in their commissary and things like that. I think that's where it's happening. I don't know specifically about that because as a rule, I don't pay my subjects that I'm working on. You know, I work for free, but I don't pay people that we're interviewing, that we're doing subjects on, just as a kind of a journalistic stand. So I'm not real sure about that, but there are certainly people in the chat that talk to, Teresa Ferguson comes to mind. She's one I think that is in pretty constant communication with Jody.
Yeah, I think, yeah. And then Susan too.
Yeah.
So let's direct people to that famous Facebook fan page that we were just talking about.
That's
and
right.
We'll continue to, some listeners will make that information available for everyone. So I guess let's get into Dakari.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Yeah, so first things first, Janet, you said, did you watch the full 54-minute video?
Yeah.
I did. Zach, did you watch it?
I did not.
Okay, so I'll say this up front. When I watched it, it wasn't, like, when you got to step back and look at what Dakari was going through, and there's
Dakari.
A lot of...
Dakari.
What he was going through, and really look at, like, what was happening there, and where, like, this stop was not okay. I will say I was surprised when I watched the full 54-minute video that it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. It wasn't as obvious as I thought it was. I don't know. Janet, what were your thoughts when you watched the whole video?
You know, they're very polite. I don't know that for me that translates. I mean, I'm certainly glad it wasn't violent. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly glad that, you know, they weren't humiliating Dakari. But there was a lot of condescension there. And so I don't think Dakari ever represented it as being, you know, violent or anything like that. But the there are, you know, the kind of gasp moments are, you know, it's not the whole thing is not that. That is true for sure. And there were listeners who noted that too, you know, even just in the bit that they checked out, even if they didn't watch the whole video. It may appear to us differently than it felt like to be him in that situation, feeling very, very vulnerable and living in
right.
the world that he lives in. And, you know, I'm not saying like, oh, it's some totally other world, but as he explained in his interview, like he felt like he, you know, it's like, I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know what's going to happen here. Anything's possible.
Well, this is how it struck me when I watched it. Like, Dakari seemed like very scared when they pulled up. And I think that is a result of a black man living and being policed in America, like just in general. Like, you could tell he's nervous when they pull up. You could tell that he's obviously very well educated in his rights. There are several times they're asking him things and he's like, I don't, you know, they're asking, what medication are you on? He's like, I'm keeping my medication private. I'm not telling you that. But he seems very nervous at first, which I think is because I don't think he did anything wrong. Somebody asked in the chat, like, I saw a body cam, but is there dash cam footage? I think that was, didn't Dakari talk about that on the show, that like they wouldn't give him the dash cam footage? They said it wasn't working when they said they had video of him supposedly running the stoplights.
I believe that's right.
I thought he said he did have it and that he could still never see a second light even in the video. And he said in the video, you could stop at the second light or at the light and make a turn, but he comes to a full stop and makes the turn.
Right. Did you, because I only looked at the 54-minute video that was on, was the dash cam videos up there?
There is dash cam video of them making fun of his name, which was not great.
Right. Well, that was in the body cam footage even, like when they pull up, they're like, Dakari, who's been drinking daiquiris. Like,
yeah,
they said
but
that when they're getting out of the car.
But you're also seeing them both in the car for part of that.
Oh,
like,
maybe.
How is that body cam footage? That must be
I thought it was all from the one body cam. But so this is what I see from it. It was, according to Dakari, and there's no proof otherwise, and I don't think they charge him with this, he never ran any stop. Like, the stop wasn't legit to begin with. I think they saw a nice car, you know, a nice car driving through Benton Harbor, and they just stopped it, thinking they could get something out of it. The way the one cop misrepresented what Dakari said about drinking pissed me off immediately. So he says, you know, Dakari is like trying to, like, he knows his rights. He doesn't have to answer questions. He doesn't have to do any of this. And so they're asking him, and you could tell that it looked to me like Dakari's having like an internal struggle. Like, what I want to do is say, I'm not answering questions, but at the same time, I don't want you to beat me up or take me to jail or do whatever.
Yeah.
So they're saying, how much have you had to drink? And he doesn't answer. And he's like, well, have you had any drinks? Have you had any drinks? How long has it been since your last drink? He still doesn't answer. And then the cop says, has it been over 2 hours? And Dakari says, yeah. So then he pulls him out of the car and he's like, as the conversation goes on, he starts saying, are you under the influence or whatever? And Dakari said, I haven't had any alcohol. I haven't had any, none. And then he pulls him out and he goes, well, you changed your story. You told me that you drank 2 hours ago and now you're saying you didn't drink at all. But he never said that. He never said it to begin with. And he goes, well, I think that's suspicious. Then I see him, he gives him all these feels, and the cop is being very polite with him, maybe condescending, but polite. But he's giving him the field sobriety tests. And I know a little bit about these because I actually sat through as a juror on a DUI trial. So I got to see the cops explain the science behind all of these different tests, the ones they were doing. And like, I'm looking, like, he does forever, like, you know, keep your head still and follow my finger. And I'm like, you can see his eyes. Like, he's tracking his fingers. He's moving back and forth. And that was one of the things in the trial I was at, was like, see how her eyes aren't actually following this and see how she's moving her head. He wasn't doing that. He was locked in, head still, following his fingers. And then he's like, well, you're just not tracking. But like, literally, you can see in the video that he's tracking it just fine. And so he goes through, everything seems to be fine with his field sobriety test. I don't see any indication for me that he seemed intoxicated in any way, shape, or form whatsoever. And then especially once then they come back in, it seemed like Dakari was like, okay, doing this, I'm going to go about my business. And then they come back and they say, all right, well, we think that you're too intoxicated to drive and we're going to lock you up and you're going to go into detox and we're putting you in detox for 6 hours. It seemed like the fear of the situation went away and he started speaking freely. And if they thought he was intoxicated during that conversation, give me a fucking break.
I know.
He's just saying like, what are you talking about? I told you, you said 2 hours. I didn't say 2 hours.
Right.
No,
from the beginning, from the jump, they're like, I smell something on your breath. I can smell it.
I smell
something
fruity.
I smell it.
Yeah.
But he's like, I smell alcohol. Like, I smell that you have been drinking. And Dakari's like, I haven't, there's no alcohol. There's no alcohol. Like.
Yeah. And remember, his blood test came back zero.
Yes.
He had zero alcohol, zero drugs in his system.
Yes.
But so then when he's sitting there and he's like having like a free flowing conversation, he's like, what are you talking? I have no drugs, no alcohol. I am not intoxicated at all. I just drove from Cleveland. I'm fine. Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I need to, my friend has to get to work. I got to do this. Like, he's having a very, like, for anybody to say this person is too impaired to drive, because they frame it as, well, we just got, and again, very politely frame it as, well, it's for your safety. It's our job to make sure we feel like you're too intoxicated to drive. We want you to be safe. That's what, to me, what it felt to me was that the officer who had the body cam on, which is the white guy, because the other guy was a black guy. The guy that had it seemed like he was put out by the fact that Dakari didn't want to answer his questions. He was put out that Dakari knew his rights and knew what he was doing. And I think that pissed him off. He didn't outwardly show, but that because that's the only thing that makes sense to me. Like, why are you doing this to this guy? Like, you stopped him. You claimed that you claimed you had it on tape, but we don't have a tape of him actually violating the law. Didn't get cited for it. Then after all that field sobriety test, and I'm telling you, I haven't had a drop of alcohol. And that's not, and any cop will know, because I've witnessed this at a million car accidents I've been at. There were drunk driving accidents when I was a fireman. They always say they had two, right? You know, when they say, I smell alcohol in your breath, they always say, oh, I had two drinks. I just had two drinks. It was an hour ago. That's what they always say. There's always, I had a couple drinks, whatever. He's saying, I had zero. Now, the one thing that, and I want to get into the questions too. I'm just going to give my like breakdown for seeing the whole thing. That, you know, Dakari said that the cop's rifling around through the car and you hear him say, I have a stash somewhere. You hear somebody say drugs. I have a stash somewhere. When I listened to it, I heard that the first time I listened to it. And then I saw some comments where people were like, he's saying
straws.
And so after I read straws, now every time I hear it, I hear him saying straws. You know, I have a stash of straws somewhere, which is weird because, you know, it's possible they were looking for, what they were looking for was not drugs. They were just looking for straws for a breathalyzer. But I never saw him pull out the breathalyzer kit and there not be straws in there.
I can't hear straws. I mean, I'm sure that that's just me, but I was trying. I mean, I just couldn't hear straws. I just kept hearing stash.
I was hearing it, but I think I was influenced by whatever. So I don't know if it was drugs or straws. But what I know is I have had the pleasure of taking a breathalyzer in a similar situation. I didn't get detained where it was when I was on a boat. It's actually a funny story. We used to be on the Off Duty podcast, but where they thought I was drunk and I wasn't. And they had me do, and like, there's a kit, there's like a box they bring out that has all the pieces to it. And then they connect the little straw to it. So, but like, what I didn't see was them pull out the kit and be like, oh shit, there's no straws in there. He's just rifling around and he says, maybe drugs, maybe straws. And he says, I have a stash of them here somewhere. That whole thing was weird. The other thing I thought was weird was they were doing that, but they never asked him if he would take a breathalyzer. Like, to me, the first thing that, you know, they did all the sobriety tests with me, and then they said, would you be willing to take a breathalyzer? And I said, sure. And then they went and got the breathalyzer kit. So, like, the story of what he was looking for was straw is super odd. Doesn't ask him to take a breathalyzer. Doesn't get the breathalyzer kit out. Just starts searching every little nook and cranny of the car for straws for the breathalyzer.
But also, like, you know, strange as, like, risky as heck to have your body cam on and to essentially be admitting, like, I have a stash of drugs that I would plant in his car.
Right.
Like, that's also very, you know, benefit of the doubt.
And you do hear somebody say right after that, you hear somebody say, he's not going to consent. Like, he kind of says it under his breath.
Yes, he definitely says. But the conversation where that goes with Dakari, right, is that he's saying, like, they wanted to search my car. Like, his interpretation of that is he's not going to consent to me searching his car, which makes it impossible for me to plant anything in his car anyway. That's like the takeaway that Dakari has versus, I guess, someone else could say if it was about a breathalyzer test, then he would be saying he's not going to consent to a breathalyzer anyway.
Yeah. I do know Dakari had emailed me last week and said that he did get, somebody did connect him, and I think he was supposed to have a meeting with the governor. So
good.
So that conversation was going to happen. Zach, what were your thoughts before we get into questions?
A major reason I did not watch this video is I have seen it firsthand. I did not need to watch this video to understand what's going on in this video. as I've told listeners over and over and over again, I grew up with a black stepfather. He's been my stepfather since I was 4 years old in this area. Mm-hmm. I've personally witnessed him harassed by police in this area, been in the vehicle when he's been harassed. This is weird to say, and I cannot give everything away, but he's actually had a settled lawsuit against a local police department mm-hmm. for harassment. I mean, it's systemic racism in this area is unbelievably out of hand.
Yeah.
So while I do not completely know what happened in that video, I've witnessed this. I've witnessed exactly what's going on. I've seen my brother harassed. I've seen my sister harassed. Mm-hmm. Like I cannot continue to watch this over and over again. Mm. It's too close to fucking home for me.
I get that.
And I want to fight for these people. I want to fight for everybody, but this shit's hard. Right. And that's why, like, I didn't not watch it because I was being lazy or because I didn't want to. I've fucking seen it. I've seen it firsthand mm-hmm. in this fucking area we're talking about. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. He had to go through this. And I'm happy that he has had the ability to acquire the legal needs he's had. And not everybody does, but it's heartbreaking to see this.
Yeah, and that was a big thing for me that I, you know, Dakari's okay, right? So he's got out of here. He didn't, you know, he had a night in jail, and that was the end of it for him, and he was able to pay for everything. But like what we talked about on the podcast, there are so many other people that this happens to mm-hmm. that don't have those resources.
Yeah.
And aren't able to. And so, you know, he's fighting for those people.
Mm-hmm. The license thing. I've seen the license thing. The license thing happened to my stepfather differently. They took his license, registration, insurance, brought him back his insurance and registration and just left mm-hmm. and totally kept his ID. Purposely or not, totally kept his ID.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to fight for it to get it back.
That's crazy.
You know, so I've seen, that's why I'm saying, like, this area is such a racial hotbed. Mm-hmm. And it's such a problem that needs to be fixed, but it needs to be fixed at a grander level that we need to figure out what to do.
One thing that I learned, because when I was watching the video, the cops kept telling him, you have to come to the hospital and take a blood test. And if you refuse, we'll get a warrant. But if you make us do that, you're going to lose your license and have to pay all these fines and get points on your license. Which I was like, they're bullshit. Like, why are they, you know, they're lying to him because they don't want to get because they have no probable cause to get a blood test.
Right.
And then I looked it up and that's Michigan law.
Yeah.
That's Michigan what? Law. Yeah. So Michigan law is that it is an implied consent state, meaning that the way I understood it, when you decide to drive on a Michigan road, you are consenting for. But you can decline a roadside breathalyzer test, but if they want to do chemical test or a blood draw, you have implied consent because you chose to drive on the road. You have to do it. If you choose not, if you make them get a warrant, this is what's crazy. If you make them get a warrant to do the blood draw, even if the blood draw comes back like Dakari's, zero. You still have your license suspended for a year. You get points on your license and you get fined. Figure that out. And I don't know if other states are like that. I was dumbfounded reading that. Dumbfounded.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have the right to say you have to have probable cause. You have to have a judge say you have probable cause before you can violate my rights and take my blood. Yeah. Not in Michigan.
Yeah. Jeff, I just want to call out your comment. Jeff says, you know, I think he looks scared and anxious. His eyes were going crazy to the point where I wouldn't want to make that call on to release or detain. I fully understand there's shitty policing going on in Benton Harbor. I think being a cop is one of the worst occupations in the country right now. I'm hoping they had public safety in mind. I don't know. Jeff, I hear you. I mean, I think that's part of what's broken in all the tiny and giant ways it's broken. Like, what if you're scared because innocent people have been murdered by cops who are pulling people over?
Yeah.
And so you look sweaty and clammy and nervous. And now it's exacerbated because maybe you look like you're on something and they're good cops who are just trying to da-da-da. Like, it's a mess.
Yeah,
you know?
It really
it's
is.
It's a mess.
And that's why I preface this by saying, like, on its face, it seemed, because I will give the officers this. They were cordial. when they were explaining, the one officer, not the one that had the body cam, but the other one that was like explaining everything to him, you know, on its face, it seemed like, you know, they're doing their best. They said, we don't want to cost you any money by towing your car. So if you want to leave your car here, all that has to happen, you give your blood test. If you're right and it's zero, then you can get out of here in 6 hours. Everything's fine. But when you back it up, why was he pulled over in the first place?
Right.
Why are they saying he failed the field sobriety test? When I saw untrained, but no indication he was drunk. And then when they were sitting again, I can't stress enough. If you watch it, once the field sobriety tests are over and they're just sitting there talking to him.
Yeah.
If we've all been around drunk people. If you're sitting there having that conversation with him and you're saying, well, I think they're too impaired to drive, that's bullshit. And that's what that, so it was like they did it with a smile. It could have been way worse, but at the same time, like the entire thing was, in my opinion, it was harassment. I think there's no explanation, in my opinion, as to why they took him in. The idea is that it was public safety. He was clearly not a threat to anybody. He was not a threat to drive anywhere. He was not impaired in any way, shape, or form, proven, by the way, by the blood test later. Like that was insane. But we've been rambling on for a half hour. We haven't got to questions yet. So we'll try to buzz through some of these questions.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Well, luckily, a lot of it, I think, we've sort of been dipping into as we've been talking about this. But and you mentioned that Dakari said that there's some potential contact with the governor of Michigan. Carrie says, since this interview is a few weeks old, is there an update on the lawsuit?
I don't know that a lawsuit's been filed. Like I said, all I know is Dakari had forwarded me an email from someone in the state Senate, I think, or Congress, whoever, that had arranged a meeting with the governor.
Got it. Liz says, I have never heard of a drug test for marijuana taking 2 to 3 weeks to process. Can't most standard medical offices run that in a day or two tops? Even before the extra weeks of delays, how did they expect that to be believed?
So the 6 hour detox time, they say that the hospital is able to do like a pro, I don't remember the term they used, but it's a preliminary test. So what they're able to do
presumptive, is, I think maybe.
Yeah. So
in like, that there's a post from Tracy who might answer this.
Yeah. So within that 6 hours, they're able to tell yay or nay for alcohol. And then it takes longer to get, like, for the drug test, like the full, like, you know, how many nanograms per milliliter of THC or whatever is in the bloodstream. There's a lot more to it, but they can get that presumptive test pretty quick.
Tracy said, I'll just to augment that. Tracy says, having worked in a mental health / probation program for 10 plus years and dealing with drug tests on a nearly daily basis, you can get a presumptive, qualitative, positive / negative test result for THC instantly. Confirmation tests, quantitative, take a few days. Definitely not 2 to 3 weeks, and absolutely not months, unless the lab messes up. I'm glad Dakari is pushing his case so hard. He is safely out of the Benton Harbor and state PD reach. Hopefully he's able to really make a change for the benefit of the residents.
Well, and also, they could have done a breathalyzer, a hospital breathalyzer, and known right away whether he was drunk. And I know for a fact that there are screening tests for THC that you can get. Like when I was on the fire department, we had a policy that any accident, you had to get a drug test immediately. And the chief had them. This is when I was, not when I was the chief. The chief had them because at one point I took out a garage door with the back of a ladder truck at one point on the way to a fire. Door closed too early and it clipped the back of the, imagine pulling back in the station after that, after you put this fire out. And the front garage door is just swinging there because I didn't realize it came down early and caught the back of the truck. But anyway, the first thing he had to do was come to the test, and it was like this mouth swab. It took 5 minutes. He came and like swabbed it in my mouth. They dip it in the thing. It's almost like a COVID test,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it shows you yes or no. And then if it shows positive, then you go get a blood test. So like it seemed like they could have very quickly and easily determined if it was, because he was claiming zero. Right. I didn't use any marijuana. I didn't use any alcohol, period. So they should have been able to do that very quickly.
Well, and they pivoted very quickly when, you know, in the video, they pivot very quickly when he's like, yeah, I haven't had any alcohol. They're like, but you have had marijuana.
Right. Yeah.
That's,
and he's like, no.
It's like, what are you? This isn't like a fun guessing game where he's like, hey, you got me. That's right. I have had marijuana. I was just waiting for you to say that I'd had marijuana.
Right.
Like, what the
So Cherise says in the chat, and it's a good point too, she said marijuana tests are difficult because marijuana stays in your system for a month. So you could have smoked pot a month ago and it would pop positive. And that and thank God for Dakari, he's not a user of marijuana. So it was zero because that's the problem with it. And that was when they first legalized it here in Michigan, that was a big discussion among law enforcement is how do we tell if they're impaired. With alcohol, I can tell if you're drunk right now. But with a marijuana test, I can show you have marijuana in your system, but that could have been from you smoking 3 weeks ago. We have no idea how to tell what. So, but and if that's the case, then they could take him to trial. And then the officers, if they tried to pursue it, would have had to make the case before the jury based on that dash cam footage that they think that Dakari was intoxicated at the time.
Right.
Which is a scary prospect because, you know, the jury that I sat on, the woman was not drunk. I didn't think. I mean, I was watching. If I ended up being the alternate, so I didn't get to vote, and she got convicted, which was crazy because they like I said, I've told the story before, but the officer that testified about the field sobriety test said, "Well, see how her eye didn't track with my finger here. Well, the statistics show that if they can't do that, there's a 70% likelihood that they're impaired." Well, then we know later she does a breathalyzer test and she blew like a 0.05, and 0.08 is the legal limit in Michigan. And so for me, I was looking at it for like, I'm supposed to have without a reasonable doubt. You just told me there's a 30% chance that she's not too impaired, and the breathalyzer shows that she's not impaired. I acquit. I got booted off the jury because I was the alternate, and then they convicted her. So this could have gone way worse for Dakari if he had smoked a joint a week before this.
Yeah, that's very true. Julia says, was Dakari's friend in the passenger seat white? Just wondering if that influenced the situation in any way, e.g. if he was white, it may have de-escalated the situation, or if he was POC, that may have played into the severity of the situation.
I don't know, because we never see him in the video.
And truthfully, just another like anecdotal thing, I don't think it matters. I think when you see a African-American male in a nice vehicle, regardless of who's with them, they're immediately onto something. I can remember in high school getting pulled over, handcuffed, put in a cop car because we were two white kids in Benton Harbor and they assumed we were buying drugs.
Yeah.
And then when they didn't find anything in the car, they let us go.
Yeah. It's interesting, like the way it works the other way too, as far as the mentality of the cops in Benton Harbor. So I had a friend who was, I was an EMT with him, but he ended up being a cop. And I remember running into him. He'd worked for 2 years at Benton Harbor. He moved on shortly after that. But he had told me he was a white guy. But he's like, man, working here, I've become like racist against white people. He's like, because basically they've told, like, if you see a white guy driving through this neighborhood, pull him over. Because mm-hmm. there's only one reason for him to be there. They're buying drugs.
Well, and that's, I mean, we were 16, 17. We didn't know. We have friends that live over there. We didn't know any different.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that they couldn't do that, really. You know, and right. we went home and I told my mom. She's like, they did what? They handcuffed you and put you in the cop. Yeah.
Just for walking.
Well, we were driving.
Oh, yeah.
They pulled us over. Mm-hmm. Handcuffed each of us, put us in the cop car, searched the vehicle.
Yeah.
There was nothing. We didn't have anything. We were going to visit our friend.
That was the other thing too. And I don't know if we have any law enforcement officers in the chat, but I did notice when they, in the body cam, when they put Dakari in the car, like they have this whole pleasant conversation. He's incredibly compliant. He, you know, says, okay, well, let's go ahead and head down there. My buddy needs to go to work. Let's get the car moved and do all this stuff. But then they handcuff him to put him in the car. And I don't know, maybe that's just pop. Maybe you always handcuff somebody to put in a car, but I just thought, like, do you really have to handcuff him? Like, he's being compliant.
That's a good question.
Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe that, like I said, probably that's just policy. I just, to me, it was like, that's ridiculous. Why are you handcuffing him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nancy says, my suspicion is that the police wanted to take the car through civil forfeiture. Basically, the police can charge property. We've talked about this, of course, on the podcast before. Rather than a person, they can charge the property itself with a crime and take it. Unlike a person, the property doesn't have the presumption of innocence. You have to prove your property is innocent and was gotten with legal gains. Sometimes that's pretty difficult. Dakari probably could have with pay stubs, but he obviously had a lot of advantages and resources the average person doesn't, such as the ability to get a lawyer who could fight it to get it back.
Yeah, I don't think that, only because they didn't impound the car, right? Because they could have. They could have right then and there. The car was still on the street. They could have towed the car and impounded it. But they actually they said to have your buddy or I can drive it into his driveway and park it. So I don't think that's what was going on here. I think it was more that they just, you know, they saw a nice car driving, you know, they saw, what was it, Cadillac or what was it?
Yeah, Cadillac.
It was a Cadillac driving through, you know, the inner city in Benton Harbor and thought, oh, there's a drug dealer.
At 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Sure. Ashton says, from listening to this season and all the stories, I totally understand why they don't trust the police. And it's, will just be the judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what, you know, we just keep hammering on this over and over again. But like this, that city, and again, these weren't Benton Harbor cops. We've made that clear. I want to continue to make that clear. These were state troopers that were doing this. But that's like, if you just, first of all, kind of what Zach was pretty emotional about that because he's seen it. But if you watch, I encourage you to watch the dash cam footage. One, to notice the nuance there, because again, on the face, it looks like, oh, well, these guys are being very pleasant. Everything's fine. But also notice Dakari. Notice him at the end. Once he's like, okay, now I'm talking, I've been with these guys for, you know, for 50 minutes. I know that, you know, there seemed to be, he wasn't worried about being hurt at that point, and he was a little mad and he started talking freely. So you see what his normal personality is. Watch him when he gets pulled over. Knowing now what we know, which he was 100% sober. Look at that right there is heartbreaking to me. Like there is genuine fear there from him, which is as a white man is hard to understand. You read about it, you hear about it, watching it. Like it's hard for me to comprehend. I have never been afraid when I got pulled over by a cop. Oh, angry.
God. I have.
Yeah, but for me as like
doing nothing, I have still.
Yeah, yeah. For me, like as a white dude getting pulled over. Especially somebody that worked in public safety, that might have something to do with it too.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm usually just irritated that I got pulled over, either with myself for doing something stupid or for them for bothering me. So like seeing him and seeing like his reaction to that, once you see what his real baseline is later, is kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah. That's essentially it for, you know, definitely some great feedback from folks who, again, are feeling a lot of sympathy. The only other thing Sarah wanted to know is, does Michigan allow ballot initiatives? People should have a right to the results of drug and alcohol tests conducted on them without going through FOIA or paying for them?
Boy, that's a question I should know. Yeah, I've seen ballot initiatives. I don't know how that process works, but yeah, I agree. Well, to me, the if there's a ballot initiative, the implied consent thing is crazy. Like, I don't understand that at all. How, you know, we have a right to privacy. We have all the constitutional rights that we have to our privacy. We don't have to consent. Like, our laws are built around every other thing that the police have to show probable cause in order and get approved by a judge in order for them to violate our privacy in any other way, except for drawing your blood out and doing a test. And the fact that it doesn't matter if you were, like I said, the fact that they can draw your blood, find out, oh, he was telling the truth. I must not have really had probable cause because he has zero alcohol in the system. Tough shit. You still lose your license. You still get fined. You still get 6 points on your driver's license. Like that is like, to me, that's a, and again, I need to do some more research. I literally 5 minutes before we recorded was reading about this. So I don't know if that is similar in other states or not, but that blew my mind. Mm-hmm. That was the part of the video that really had me mad. I'm like, they're lying to him. They're trying to trick him into doing this test without getting a judge's warrant. And it's like, nope, that's the rule.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and again, you know, I saw that Dr. Shiloh dipped in and out quickly just to say hello, and I missed it. So everything came after the fact. But I always appreciate her being here because she does work with law enforcement. She comes from a family of law enforcement. But I also trust her very, very much about her perspective. I've seen her call out bad behavior and, you know, want the wrong people, you know, want people who are misusing their power punished and all of that. But it's always nice. I think it's important for us, again, like you were saying at the beginning of this follow-up, whether you believe it or not, we really do want to maintain perspectives and some form of objectivity. And it's very depressing spending all of your time wondering and worrying that every police officer is up to something. So I like when people challenge us on things, or we challenge ourselves on things and go, could this be something else? Or could this look any other way? And even if the result is, no, I think this might be another situation where X happened versus, oh, what a pleasant surprise, Y happened. You know, it's important to have that objectivity as much as anyone can, which is very difficult. But I, you know, none of us want to, even those of us who are here trying to do this work, nobody wants to live in a world where every single cop is a danger to you at all times because they're all crooked. Like, we, you know.
Right. So this is the thing. And we'll leave you with this. There are a couple of things. One, I'm curious if Jeff in the chat here is an officer. He had said that in Nebraska, it is standard procedure to always be cuffed if you're in a squad car. But he also says, and this is a good public safety announcement, that Jeff says, you do not have to consent to field sobriety tests or breathalyzer tests. So, that's true in Michigan too. So the whole field sobriety thing they were doing, you don't have to submit to that. You don't have to submit to a field breathalyzer, but apparently you do have to submit to a blood test. So the recommendation, what I teach my kids, and you guys take it for whatever it's worth, is constitutional rights to privacy are there for a reason. You are not being difficult. You are not being an asshole if you exercise your rights to privacy. And as Jeff points out here, that the field sobriety tests, they're a trap for the impaired and the sober. So just say no to them. And I agree with that because what happens is, for example, here, let's say that there's a scenario where Dakari did smoke pot a week ago, right? But he's 100% sober here. He goes, gets his blood test, shows negative for alcohol, shows positive for marijuana. Hmm. They could then take him to trial and try to prove to a jury that he was impaired. And you know what evidence they're going to use? The video of the field sobriety tests. Hmm. So you're better off not to do. If you get pulled over and you are, again, not legal advice, I'm not a lawyer, this is my opinion. If you get pulled over and you are sober and they're accusing you of being impaired, just say, I'm not answering any questions. I'm not doing any field sobriety tests. I'm sorry. I'm exercising my rights. If you need to take me to do a blood test, let's do that. And that's it. That's it. Let them go prove it. It's no different than when a cop says, I just want to talk to you. You can just clear your name. Just we want to help you. And so you try to talk your way out of it, and then you end up getting trapped because of it. in that most of the wrongful conviction cases we have, a common theme is they talk to the police without a lawyer. Don't do that. Don't submit to violate your privacy when you don't have to, according to Dr. Bob Ruff, PhD, CPA.
Side note, I got super scared when they were like, and we just need to take you to 9 large steps, and then you're going to shuffle, do this kickball change, and you're going to do 9 more steps. For that, I was like, I don't know if I could do that sober. Like, I'm not following. I'm actually not following. So I agree with you.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say before we close it out is Simone makes a good point. Be careful with that advice and please know your laws in your specific state. First of all, she says, be sober when you're driving. But as far, 100%. Definitely know your, again, do not listen to me. It's not legal advice. And it's always okay to ask those questions too. It's always okay to ask the officer, do I have to do this? And they have to answer. It's no different than saying, am I being detained? If they want to question you. And if the answer is no, you can get up and walk away. So as long as you're respectful and you're not being offensive and you're just asking good questions, that's fine. And again, one more time, I'm not a lawyer. Don't listen to me.
Got it.
That's my advice. And with that, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. This Sunday, we've got coming up the state's closing arguments. We're going to hear all about their story they told the jury that resulted in Jody's conviction. And then next week, we're going to cover the defense's closing arguments and the rebuttal. So that's what we got coming up. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Thanks, everybody in the chat, for participating. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music for Season 15 is created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weaver. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kay Wood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X @truthjusticepod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney, and Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life.
Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.